Blog Talk Radio.
New day.
You're damn right.
What if everybody started saying that?
Gotham would tremble.
Everyone's gonna think you're going nuts.
Hey, Gotham!
They want mass panic.
You ain't seen nothing yet!
The laugh is fast.
And hello and welcome to the Gotham Talk Podcast, where tonight we're talking to a special guest, guest director T.J. Scott, who recently directed his indie film Death Valley, will be on tonight's Gotham Talk. So hopefully, if you have any questions that you want to ask T.J., anything regarding his new movie, also as well as his experience working on Gotham, please call in. We're live right now for the next 30 minutes. Our number is 347-637-3821. Again, that number is 347-637-3821. And our Twitter handle is Gotham Talk, all one word. So if you can't make it in live on the podcast, you could submit your questions via Twitter. So just the handle is Gotham Talk, all one word. And let's go to the phones. We have some live callers right now. I just want to Just reiterate, we're going to be speaking to TJ really soon. So we will be recapping last night's Gotham tomorrow. So don't worry, we'll still talk about the episode. But today we'll be focusing on our special guests. So that's the way we're going to format the show. So again, call in. We're live. Okay, here we go. From area code 239, who is this?
Matt from Florida. What's up? I am really excited.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
I'm kind of nervous because I kind of want to ask him if it's going to compete with Supergirl because
what his thoughts are on. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, because the show is going to be on at 8 next Monday, and then I switch over to Supergirl at 8:30. And
don't
how
be
are
nervous.
They going to collide on that? I don't want to say anything bad about a show, but I'm going to tell him I enjoy the show and you're doing a good job.
Yeah, he sure is. He's had a great success. You know, I've been looking
Which
at his
episodes
little
have
resume
directed?
And I'll definitely go down the list of stuff that he's directed. So, but let me get one more caller in. Let's see, from area code 469. Who is this?
Hey, it's Joe from Krypton.
Hey, Joe, how's it going, sir?
Pretty good.
Glad you made it. So yeah. Tonight we'll be talking to our special guest, T.J. Scott. So, it'd be interesting. What's in the day in the life of the director? Like from start to production to post-production and then now distribution. It sounds like T.J. has done it all. So I would really love to pick his brain. And also why he wrote Death Valley, so I definitely want to hear about that. And are you having any thoughts, Joe, what you might ask?
I think I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I would like to know which episodes he's directed, though. Has he been on season 2?
He sure has. we just saw one. It was Something Squadron.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, look it up right now. He did just recently.
I'm going to see if he did the pilot.
Shoot. It was, you know, the episode where they gather all the good GCPD?
Oh, last week's.
Yeah, yeah.
Start,
it was totally
Start Force,
it was just
or whatever
recently.
It was called. Yeah.
All right, cool. So let me give you a little info about TJ. TJ Scott is a film and television director, writer, producer, photographer based in Los Angeles. His recent TV work includes directing hit series of Gotham for Fox, Constantine for NBC, Spartacus, Black Sails for Stars, and the critically acclaimed BBC America series Copper and Orphan, Copper and Orphan is Black. And then the Netflix series Hemlock Grove and Longmire, and The Transporter for Fox, HBO and Cinemax, and Motive for ABC, The Strain for FX, Bitten and 12 Monkeys, and Dark Matter pilot for Sci-Fi. So he definitely has his hands full, right, guys?
Yeah, yeah, sure does.
He's done a lot.
Yeah, very large variety. That's awesome. TJ's indie feature film, Death Valley, which he wrote, directed, and produced, has recently been released. Yes, you could get it now. So go to Death Valley MOV, that's the Twitter handle, or go to the website, and I have it up right now. It's deathvalleythemovie.com. You can find out more about his film. And let's see... yes, recently released. His previous movie, Deadless Sea, was nominated for 5 Gemmy Awards in Canada, including Best Movie and Director. TJ has also directed award-winning episodes of Xena, Hercules, Nikita, and his episode of Playmakers was listed by the American Film Institute as one of the top 10 episodes of television of that year. So we're in good hands, right?
Yeah.
All right, without further ado, let's see if this is TJ. TJ, is this the director of Death Valley?
Hey, am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on. You're live. Welcome to the family.
Hey, how you doing? How's it going?
Good. So, TJ, tell us about your film that you recently wrote, produced, and directed.
Well, it's a really cool little indie movie that created to shoot in Death Valley. It's film noir, and it's really, you know, it's an acting movie. There's not special effects in it. There's not stunts. There's just actors acting in a fantastic location. And I kind of wrote the story with Brad McPherson, my writing partner on this, and we wanted to explore the idea that you really never know anybody until you face adversity with them. So
we put
our characters into a lot of adversity, and then we see the masks peel back, and you really reveal who people are as the story goes along. So that was kind of what we were playing with.
Oh, what a great situation where you really bring out the best or worst out of people.
Well, you know, we really found that I think that's true. You know, if when you face life and death, then you see who runs. And kind of we played to the theme, too, of... you know, when you make decisions, do you make them from the gut or do you make them from your brain? And sometimes you think that the people that are going to make decisions from their brain because they know what's right actually go with their gut. And some people that are gut people try to think it out too much. So it's fun to see these four characters twist and turn as the world collapses around them out in the desert.
Yes, and the cast of characters that you have in your film, it's a great mix. You have Katrina Law, also Lachlan Monroe. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorites. How was it working with these actors that gave you the depth that you were looking for?
Well, it's funny. I actually wrote the script with Lachlan Monroe in mind for that role, and Victoria.
No
Pratt
way!
In
Are
mind
you guys friends? How did that work out?
Well, everyone in this movie is a friend. There was no casting director. I just called up my favorite actors that I thought were right for the roles and offered them the roles, and they took them. And the same with the cast or the crew. It was just these are all people that I've worked with for years, and we wanted to do a film that was just made with, you know, friends and family, and that's what we did. So I'd done a couple of projects with Lachlan Monroe before, and then Victoria Pratt, and then I just finished doing Spartacus, and Katrina Law and Nick Charabay were on that. So
that's great. small world, right?
Yeah, and then Kelly Hu, I had done a movie with before, and Jeremy Ratchford, I had just finished doing a Longmire episode with, but I've known him for 25 years. So it really was the friends and family show.
Wow. And that's great that you guys could come together, give try their best to give them the vision that you're trying to seek for the film, and it all comes together. Now, how early let's start from the beginning, TJ. What came about with this idea for your film, like the story?
Well, Brad McPherson and I had wanted to write something together for a while, and he came to me with this about 20 pages of a script that he was working on and said, is this the one that we should do together? And I said, oh, man, this project is perfect to shoot in Death Valley, so let's sculpt it to shoot there. And when you shoot in Death Valley, it's one of the crown jewels of national parks, so there's a ton of restrictions. And one of the restrictions that we knew about was you can't have more than 15 people ever together. So we went, well, we back-engineered from that, going, we need 4 actors and 11 crew at the most. And that's what we did the movie with. We did it with a tiny, tiny little crew of people. Each person could do 4 or 5 jobs.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. And how many shooting days did you have on this film?
12 shooting days, two days in L.A. and 10 days in Death Valley.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, that's a short schedule, don't you think?
It's tiny, but it kind of worked for this movie. We'd engineered it around that, and I didn't have a big hole in my schedule. We had 8 days of prep, and then we shot, and 2 days later I got on a plane and went to South Africa to do Black Sails, and I had just finished doing Orphan Black before that, so we just kind of squeezed it right in between.
Right, wow. And now let's go into the production. Who do you hire for your DP, and who do you hire for the other essential roles in the crew? Is it people you already worked with before, or did you start fresh with new eyes with a new DP? Give us that intel.
Everybody that I worked with were people that I'd worked with before in the past. We worked with award-winning director of photography David Harrington. I've known David, I think, for 30 years. When I was a young actor, he was a focus puller.
Oh, wow.
And we worked our way up through the business together, and he was the director of photography on my Deadliest Sea project, but I also did the Transporter TV series with him, and we've done lots of stuff together.
He's also done Nikita as well.
Yeah, he was just a fantastic director of photography, and we just collaborate so well together. My longtime editor of 16 years, Bert Kish, was the editor on the project. And my brother was our first AD, so I knew him pretty well.
That's great. You could get along and work together.
And our composer and sound recordist was Sean Bevan, who's a producer of groups like Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson, Guns N' Roses.
Right.
An amazing talent in his own right. And we got him out there in the desert to record our sound and then to do the soundtrack with his wife, Juliet. And Juliet played a role in the project and was also the script supervisor. So, as you see, everybody had to have multiple jobs in this project.
Yeah, you had to double up, yeah.
Double,
that's
triple,
great.
Whatever.
Yeah, no rules here. Whatever you can do, do it. Now take us into post-production. How long did that take you from start? Were you also editing while you're shooting? Because I know sometimes the tight scrunch schedule because of your other projects. How did you manage post-production right after you finish completing shooting?
Well, this is how important my editor is to me. He's a director in his own right. And 2 days before we went into production, he got his own movie to direct. And he said, well, I guess you're getting another editor. And I said, no, I'm going to wait for you. So he actually went off, prepped his movie, shot it. It also started to become the law. Posted it, And I went off and did 2.5 months on Black Sails, and then I came back to it, and we started editing it 2.5 months after we'd shot it.
Okay.
So, very unusual way to do a movie.
Yeah, and then
once the start,
once you started, how long, so it's about a month in post?
Yeah, Bert cuts extremely quickly, and I just look at what he cut and go, it's fantastic, good going. We probably did maybe 3 days of changes, and that was it.
Now, were there any scenes that, now looking back, you took a couple, months step back, to take a different look at it. Are there any scenes that were cut out that you now want to bring back?
No, we cut out about 3 scenes that we thought were slightly redundant, and I don't miss them in the least.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually really happy with the, we made the story pretty tight to start with. We had, we wrote it and rewrote it till we liked it, and we just stuck with that.
Okay, and just for those techies out there, what did you cut on? I know there's a large variety of software out there, but what kind of system?
He cut with the Adobe system.
The Premiere?
Adobe Premiere, yeah. He really liked
yeah, that's
that.
A solid one.
I've cut with him on a lot of different stuff. We've done Final Cut Pro, we've cut on Avid on different projects, but he really liked the Premiere for this one. And I kind of just let Bert do what he wants. He's the one that's got to control it.
Right. Okay, so now we've gone into the post-production area. Now the distribution. Once you say, okay, my movie is locked, how on hands are you at that point? Or do you just let your producers or whoever is managing your distribution? Give us that sneak peek of how that process went.
Well, it is kind of funny because I've always been a filmmaker, never been a film seller. And the two other producers that I worked with were kind of the same, so we actually got to the end of it and went, oh, crap, now what do we do? Now we got a film.
Right,
you have your
finished project, yes.
And there's a whole set of skills that we didn't really have to, how do you sell this project? So luckily for me, one of my producing partners, Brad McPherson, who had written it with me, really took the bull by the horns and ran with it, and he learned that whole part of the business and ended up getting a distribution company, IndieCan, to purchase it or to distribute it. But it was that whole end of it is a whole different game, and I actually wasn't
it's a whole
that
different
involved
ball
in
game.
It. Yeah, I was lucky. He ran with that part of it. He did a fantastic job.
So what was that gap from the time you finished post to now trying to find a distributor? What was that gap?
It's about 9 months.
Oh, wow.
Nine, ten months, which is a long time trying to figure it out and shop it around.
Yeah, no, that is hard. Yeah, for those, future directors listening out there, it's great to hear the process on the indie side.
Yeah, because, I've always worked on things that weren't indie, and, normally that whole, it's already sold. You already know where it's going to go.
Right.
So
you just have to produce the product.
Yeah. It was kind of funny, though, three of us standing around going, okay, now we got a movie. Now what do we do?
Yeah, now what? we finished it. I love it. Because those will be my questions. I'm like, okay, I have this amazing project. Now how can I get it sold? I'm like, I don't even have a poster. What's going on?
Yeah. the one thing we knew we were going to have was stills, because I did the stills on the project too. I would operate the A camera and do the stills, so I always knew we had good stills to go with our project,
right,
and the poster and everything.
Are you graphically savvy on like Photoshop?
I probably spend about, if I'm not filming, 8 hours a day on Photoshop, maybe 9.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I kind of live on that program.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. All right. So, TJ, if you don't mind, I'm going to open the phone lines and see if any of our fans that are calling in have any questions for you. Are you up for that?
Yeah, let her rip.
All right, sweet. We have a caller from area code 469. Who is this?
Hey, Chris from Kendall. How are you?
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you today?
Good, good. Well, we have a special guest, director T.J. Scott, who just recently released his film Death Valley out. And T.J., where can people get your movie? What are your outlets?
You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Vudu. You can get it on pretty much all of the cable VODs as of now. And then
right.
In a month it'll drop on other platforms. But as of today, those ones.
All right. So, Chris, we're on with TJ.
Nice. How are you, man? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a lot.
Cool.
So, do you have a question for TJ?
Well, he worked on Gotham, too, a lot, right?
Yes, TJ, do you mind, since we are on a Gotham Talk podcast, do you mind if we discuss some Gotham goodness as well?
No, of course, I love Gotham.
All right, sweet.
Well, I wanted to know that when Bruce Wayne and Selina, they had to push Reggie down the building. I mean,
yeah.
How was that for them, you know, kind of experiencing, kind of throwing a man, you know, out the window and killing him?
How was it
for
the actors, or how was it for the characters?
Yeah, how was it for the actors?
Well, you know, all this stuff is staged extremely safely, that was an episode that was directed by Eagle Eagleson. Fantastic director, and you know, it's all very safe and very well thought out. But I know that they were very excited about doing it. Actually, they thought it was a lot of fun to be involved in you know, kind of a pretty dramatic stunt and to be tied into it. So I think they thought it was a bit of a thrill for them, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
The reason I asked that is because of that young age, you know. Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Those two actors are young in age, but they are incredibly mature. You talk to them, it's like,
oh, sure.
Battle.
Yes.
They're very, very smart, those two. Sometimes almost too smart.
Yeah. No, you could tell. They look so wise for their age. Now, the episode you did direct, Strike Force, which did air on October 12th, 2015, quite a big controversy with your episode, TJ, huh? And
was
you know
it?
What I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Strike Force. Tell us a little bit about that experience directing that episode. And well, what's usually the turnaround from you sitting down for the table read to production? Give us that timeline. I'm sure some listeners here would like to know.
We as directors, you normally don't get the script until you're pretty much getting on the plane to fly out to do the episode. And
oh, wow.
Then, on a show like Gotham, you've got 9 days of prep and then 9 days to shoot it. So it almost always happens. You read the script on the plane, and then you arrive and start prepping the next morning. And then the table read is normally about 5 days into your prep, or maybe 7 days into your prep, so that as you're prepping, you may need to change some locations, change a few scenes around to fit what you can find. So the executive producers are always rewriting and rewriting, so you do the table read through just a little bit before you shoot it.
Right. Wow.
What was
really,
the controversial part on Strike Force? I don't even know.
You know what, I'm just trying to recap myself, because maybe I have my episodes crossed over. Would it be the Selina Kyle smack?
Could have been. Was that really? Interesting.
You know what, let me just double check. I'm so sorry. I should have looked it up before.
Oh, yeah, so we introduced Michael Chiklis, which was really interesting.
Yes.
You know, I found out we got Michael Chiklis for the show, I was so excited because it was a huge.
Oh, how was that? I mean, all I saw was S.H.I.E.L.D. But he's great. He's such a great actor. How was working with him?
Amazing, which I was so glad. So I think the S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably one of my top five, maybe my top two television series ever to watch.
Yeah.
So I was such a fan of his, and then when he came on
classic.
Set, just like a total pro. So fun to work with.
Sure he is. And it shows, you know, you can tell when the actors are really good people. You could just see it. It just, you know, pierces through the screen.
Yeah. And it's a very ensemble family cast on Gotham. Everybody gets along really well.
Are you scheduled to come back?
I directed next week's episode also.
Oh, there you go. Well, we're very excited to see that one. All right, let's go to Matt from Florida. Matt, we're on with TJ Scott.
Well, I just have to say you did a great job on the episode Strike Force. What my question
Force,
is, TJ, is that how do you do the shows on the same time as the other show? Like when Supergirl comes on, are you going to change the time of Gotham, or how are you going to do the time zones with those shows?
Well, that's why you have a DVR to record three shows at once.
Yeah. They have that
I'm a
now.
Big fan of Gotham, though. You do a great job directing Gotham. I loved that episode when you introduced Michael Quinkus. Like, when he came on that opening scene, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Like, when
he just cleaned
Jerome
house.
Came in.
We love it.
I mean, the actor who played Jerome the Joker, I mean, that scene where he called out Bruce, I mean, that was just amazing in that scene there. Is he going to be coming back? I know he looks dead there, but I was geeking out when you saw him turn into the Joker almost there. Are you going to have the Joker on the show, TJ?
I don't know. That's not up to me, but I can it's not a spoiler to say that Jerome is dead.
Yeah,
I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. The ensemble cast continues with other great actors on Gotham. Now, TJ, do they shoot that in New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we shoot in New York. We're all over. I mean, we're right downtown on Wall Street. Our studios are in Brooklyn. We'll shoot in Harlem. We'll shoot in Spanish Harlem. We shoot in Queens. We shoot in the Bronx. We're all over the New York area. We're shooting Staten Island. I love shooting in New York. That's the funnest thing.
Yeah, because, you know, once in a while you're like, okay, we get it. We're in Vancouver. When they're trying to cheat for New York, we understood. All right, we have another caller, TJ, from area code 469. Is this Joe?
Yeah, hey, it's Joe. How you doing, TJ?
Hey, good, Joe.
I actually have two questions for you. I've always been curious, as an independent filmmaker, while you're in production and you're shooting, while you're doing that, do you have any hopes of maybe getting an Oscar nomination from the Academy, or is it more just a project of passion?
I don't think we ever think about awards when we're shooting. This one really was a project of passion, and I really wanted to do a little gritty movie. So wasn't thinking about awards in any way whatsoever as we were shooting.
Okay. And you also mentioned being a script writer. Do you have any creative input at all, if any, on Gotham?
Not really. The writing staff is so strong on Gotham. Bruno Hellier is the executive producer who's in charge of the writing, and this is the guy that created Rome, the series. So, you know, he's got a pretty darn good handle on what the show is going to be. And then he's got a fantastic staff. So the scripts change little bits here and there, but and we can make suggestions, but pretty much we shoot the scripts that they write.
Okay.
But it's great.
Wonderful.
Question.
Do you do you have maybe like a dream project on in the future, like maybe a Star Wars or a Warner Brothers property or something like that? Or have you been approached by any studios for something like that?
Not at this point. I've got some of my own projects that I've written that will be, nice to turn into feature films, and some that are, in development. I think the thing that I really, really want to turn into a series or a film is a project that I'm working on called Purgatory, which right now is being developed as a graphic novel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So hopefully in the next year you'll hear a lot about Purgatory.
Wonderful. Thanks, TJ. Great. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're very excited. Let's see who else. I believe that's it. All right, cool. So, TJ, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Again, if you are listening right now, please go to, if you're on Twitter, go to Death Valley MOV. That's their Twitter handle, and also to their website, deathvalleythemovie.com. And to all the outlets, right, TJ? To all the, like, the Amazon Prime, iTunes,
yep.
Vudu.
Yeah, all the normal places where you download movies, it's there now.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, TJ, do you have any words to say? How did we do?
It was great. Next week episode is of Gotham is one that I directed that I'm really excited about. I can't wait for
people
to see it.
Oh, great. Well, if you're free, we'll be here. Same bat channel, same bat time. That'll be awesome.
Cool. If people follow me on Twitter, then they can send me little notes and stuff and tell me what they think, too.
Oh, yeah, will do. Will do. Well, thank you, TJ. Guys, do you have any last words for TJ?
Keep up the great work.
Like,
on
thank
Gotham.
You for coming. No, just kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate
it. All right, great. Thank you. And
okay.
This concludes our episode of Gotham Talk with our director, TJ Scott. We'll be back tomorrow to recap last night's episode. So join us tomorrow if you want to talk with us about that episode. So, all right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night.